I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota.
Good evening, Vashon Island. I am Megan Hastings, and this is the Cats and Jammer Follies on 101.9 KVSH. This is a travel show, and I like to bring my friends on. We like to talk about places that we like to go. And today, I have my friend Brad Trinary. I thought I was going to stumble on that word. The funny thing is I actually never knew what his last name was until about 10 minutes ago. I'm not sure how that ever...
We're on a first name basis. How that,
well, he and his partner, Mike, they just go by Brad and Mike.
Yeah.
They're kind of like Brangelina. I originally know Brad from... We used to do a storytelling night that's pre-COVID. And... where people would come up and they would write stories. And he came up one time and read the funniest story about being in Montana? Yeah, being in Montana. And you can...
New Year's Eve, that story?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was pretty great. Anyway, he's a fantastic writer. And he just so happened to come back from Vietnam last week. And so he came on graciously, and we're going to talk about that. Brad, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
Tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm retired. My husband, Mike, and I have been on the island for coming up on 7 years.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
And you were in Seattle before this, right?
We were for 30-some years. I think 37 years in Seattle.
It's a long time.
Yeah. We both worked in healthcare. And... we love to travel.
Yeah, you guys have been a lot of places.
We've done a lot of travel. The last 2 years, of course, with COVID, everything stopped. And I thought, oh, great, this is not how I wanted to spend my retirement.
I know, how not fair.
Yeah, yeah. And well, we love to travel. It was just great to be on an adventure together.
So was this... Was this trip that you just came back from, was this your first big trip since pre-pandemic?
Yes, it was.
And had you guys planned this before, or this you planned it during?
No. Quarantine started about a month after we got back from a huge trip to Ireland and Scotland.
I remember that.
Yeah. And, excuse me, we have Irish friends that we travel with. They'll come over here and we'll do a trip over here. Then we go over there and they'll do a trip over there. And of
that
course,
sounds like so much fun as we're on the eve of St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day. That's right.
I hope you have your green ready.
Always. Are you kidding
or
me?
Or you'll have to get a pinch.
Yeah, or a pinch. So we have friends in Montana, where we're from, who... Terry, the husband, is retired from the University of Montana, mm-hmm. where he was the director of Asian studies. And so he's very familiar with China and Asia and Vietnam. They have a daughter who is studying Mandarin Chinese in Taiwan right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she traveled with us also.
Oh, she did? She met up with you guys in Vietnam?
Yeah, we met up in Vietnam in Ho Chi Minh City, and the five of us traveled together, so... It was really
which that's
delightful.
Not always an easy thing to travel with that many people
no.
at the same time.
And I've never traveled with that young a person.
How old is she?
I think she's 21. Just turned 21.
Oh yeah, that's young.
And but we all got along pretty well, you know. We gave each other a lot of space. Mm-hmm. Just kind of we had things that we wanted to do and they had things they wanted to do and it worked out. So
tell us some of those things you did.
Well, the first thing I'm thinking about is food.
Oh my God. When they said that they were going to Vietnam, I was literally like, are you serious? I want to go too.
Yeah.
I want to eat.
we did a street food tour one evening. It lasted 5 hours. We went to 8 different eating places. And mm-hmm. I'm talking like little kitchens that are stuck in the wall. And people working in the background, and people sitting on little stools on the sidewalk, eating their pho and banh mi, and we learned how to say pho.
What did you call it before?
Well, I said pho. Everybody says you make it short, but the Vietnamese fellow that was our tour guide said when you say the word, smile. And that gives the correct intonation for the correct pronunciation of pho.
Oh, and then I just got to see his beautiful smile.
Yeah, pho. He said, if you don't smile, they'll take you out in the back and beat you up. So that definition is clearly not one that you want to, you always want to smile.
You always want to. I think that's a pretty general rule in life and travel. I always say that to the kids at the restaurant when they take their gap year and everything. And I always say, you know, a smile really does go a long way.
It really does.
Yeah, especially really when you're traveling and if you need help or, you know what I mean? Just any questions, just be nice. And
well, the Vietnamese people are some of the most gracious, kind, gentle people that I've encountered in our travels. Everyone, first of all, I felt like a giant there. I felt like I was a foot taller than everybody that I was around.
And how tall are you?
Just under 6 foot.
Yeah.
But I had the most interesting thing happen while we were over there. It happened frequently and predictably. I'm a little tubby. And
I would not say that.
Well, the Vietnamese would. It was so fun because they would come up and just pat my belly, you know, just tap, 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 and smile at me, you know. And it was, I could see it coming. I thought, oh, that lady is going to tap my belly. And sure enough, and I felt like a Buddha, you know. I wanted to hold my hands over my head and smile and say, go ahead, rub my belly. I told Mike, I said, it was kind of affirming. I, you know, did something for my self-esteem.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, they looked at you and thought, this is a gentleman who enjoys life, I bet.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. But one of the joys of traveling in Vietnam are these food markets. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Please describe them.
The fruit. That was a little bit of a problem for me. I ate too much fruit, if you know what I mean. And so you have to be judicious in what you choose to eat. But
what kind of fruit?
Oh, everything from durian, which smells terrible, tastes sweet, to dragon fruit. There's one that they call the queen's fruit. It looks like, when you get it peeled open, it looks like a crown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really beautiful. Gigantic, not pomelo, grapefruit. I mean, the size of a softball or a soccer ball.
Wow.
And hanging on the trees, they just go and pick it. We got to make rice paper, which is what they make their
spring rolls
from. Yeah, we actually went into this woman's kitchen. Or
so were these tours that were set up in advance, or these are people that you just randomly met?
We were on a tour, and the tour guy said, "Come into Anna's kitchen."
Nice.
And she's going to show you how we make this rice paper.
How do you make it?
Well, she had an open fire. That she fed the husks from rice. It was in a bin, and it kind of slid down into where the flames were, and the flames were underneath a large, like a wok-type container mm-hmm. that had a screen over the top of it. And she would take a liquid rice, like a paste, in a ladle, and like a crepe would stir it onto this screen, and then she'd put a lid over it, and for about a minute, she'd take it off, and she had a bat with a towel wrapped on it, and she would set it on the edge of that rice paper and roll it up, move it over to an open air screen and unroll it, and then they set it out in the sun and it dries.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, it really was amazing. And then
what a beautiful process.
We had to make spring rolls with the rice paper that we made that we ate then for lunch.
And would you just like dunk it in water for a couple seconds, then pull it out?
No, we used lettuce that had wet, you know, it was like it had been washed.
Mm-hmm.
We ate tons of greens. And I was a little dubious about it because, you know, travel in Mexico, don't eat the ice, anything you can't peel. And I kind of just forgot about that the whole time we were over there. And I didn't have any problems till the day we left. That's another story. But
well, it seems like if it's part of a tour and you're going into someone's house that...
Yeah. It was one of the things I was amazed at. I'm kind of jumping here a little bit. You know, Vietnam is a communist country. It's the first communist country I've ever been to. And I kind of thought it would be sad. You know, my impressions or my memory, what my indoctrination about communism is that people wear uniforms, they don't smile, they don't have fun, you know, they just work, and stand in bread lines.
Well, and that is definitely like a 80s scenario.
Yeah. I am who I am.
Yeah. No, I mean, I understand it. Yeah. I totally get it.
But there is such industry. I've never seen people work so hard. You know, from people out in the rice fields bent over with their conical bamboo hats on. And that's hard work, boy. That is just back-breaking work.
I can imagine.
And then the women with the baskets that hang on off their shoulders, you know, it looks like, you know, just
the
scale, right?
Yeah.
And they're selling fruit. Well, there's a museum in Hanoi called the Women's Museum. And there is a story about the women who sell fruit off those balanced baskets over their shoulders. They live out in the country, typically. Their families are out there. They come into the cities for 10 days at a time, and they go to the markets at 2 o'clock in the morning, buy the fruit, and then they spend the day selling it, and then they spend 35 cents a night to stay in a hostel with other women who are doing the same thing.
And this is contemporary.
This is going on right now today.
Oh, wow.
And so when I love mangoes. And this beautiful woman had these beautiful mangoes in her basket. And she saw me coming. And I got
she patted your belly.
Patted my belly. And then sold me 4 mangoes. And
oh, God, I bet they're so beautiful and ripe and glorious.
Perfect. You know, you never know what your mango is going to be like when you buy it in the store.
No, you don't.
And these were just luscious. But after I heard the story about who these women are, how they leave their families for 10 days at a time, go into the markets, spend all day carrying this fruit around over their shoulders and selling it, and then spend 35 cents to sleep in a hostel with all the other women who are doing the same thing before they can go home and be with their family for a week.
And how much is one of the mangoes?
I'm not going to be able to
translate
this. It was, Mike said he thought I paid $4 for four mangoes, which I think is a really good deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I never quite caught on to the money. It's, I think 25,000 dong, which is what a Vietnamese dollar is, translates to $1, one U.S. dollar, 25,000 dong. I may have that wrong. But all I know is I'd look at my wallet and I'd have
I've never been there.
6.5 million dong in my wallet, and I couldn't buy a bottle of water with it. It was challenging. But that's, that's just part of the fun of travel
is learning
the money.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was in Turkey this past summer and I never quite figured out the money either. And I don't know why, because I don't know that it was that difficult. There's nothing like that. But for some reason, sometimes you just look at, and the transactions, they go so fast that you're just like, wait a second, hold on.
Oh, yeah.
And you just have to believe that the person is honest.
I just opened my wallet and they pulled out what they needed. And,
Because I do that at Snapdragon when people come in and they're just like, they like don't speak English and they'll just like hand me some money. And I'm like, I'll take this and this and that. There you go.
Right.
You just have to believe in the universe that it's going to take care of you.
And there's a generosity about the Vietnamese people. We stayed in Airbnbs that I had prearranged before we even went over there. And the hosts at these Airbnbs were so incredible.
So you did meet them. It wasn't just like a lock code and...
Yeah, no, we met their staff. We met the owners.
Mm-hmm.
And they always had these treats for us on the table when we'd come in the evening, They had what looked like a Snickers bar. Mm. I thought it was Snickers. They just had misspelled it. They called them Anchors, written in the same way. Anyway, it was a Snickers bar when I ate it, so.
What was the absolute highlight of your trip?
I have two highlights.
Okay.
One is Hoi An, which is a smaller city, 200,000 people, but we were in the old part of Hoi An, which is, I think, over 1,000 years old.
Wow,
and
that's amazing.
Right on the river, and it's where all the markets are. There are little shops. It's where they make the suits and the shirts for you overnight. They sell the lanterns, the silk lanterns. Hoi An is known for being the place to get silk lanterns.
What color did you get? The traditional?
I got the traditional red and then a kind of an orangey yellow.
And what are you going to do with them?
Oh, I will find something to do with them. I've got 10 of them.
How big are they?
They're, this is radio. They are 2 feet tall and maybe a foot around. They're teardrop shaped.
Oh,
inverted teardrop.
I bet they're just beautiful.
Yeah, they really are. And the streets in the old city are festooned with these lanterns. At night, it is breathtakingly beautiful. Breathtakingly beautiful. I cannot over describe its beauty.
Did you take a lot of pictures?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Took a lot of pictures. And it's on the river, and there are all these boats, kind of like gondola-type boats, and they all have lanterns on them, and people rent them. They're paddled up and down the river.
You're paying somebody to do it,
like a gondolier.
Yeah.
And the river is filled with these boats, hundreds of them, and people just very quietly and gently going up and down the river. And
what's the name of this town again?
Hoi An.
H-O-I-A-N. Sounds magical.
It is. It's really magical. And the lovely thing about it is we never saw any police or military or any kind of security anywhere.
Oh.
And I never... once felt unsafe, like when we were in Hoi An in the evening. Every night there was like this festival of lights and people and fireworks up in the sky, and everybody from young parents bringing their children in strollers and on backpacks to grandmas walking with their grandchildren.
And it just always felt like cohesive.
Absolutely,
energy.
Yeah, just really gentle.
Well, I imagine under communist rule that they completely frown upon any sort of, like if there's not a lot of police force, bad activity.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Well, somebody said, well, there are a lot of police around. You just don't know who they are. They're undercover. The only police we saw were these guys out on the busy roads in uniforms. They had a wand. It looked like a cutoff baseball bat. And they would stick it into the windows, through the windows into the cars. And our guide told us that they were alcohol police, that those wands that they had were sensitive to alcohol levels in the car.
Just in the car.
Just in the car.
So it's not like a breathalyzer. I mean, it's a kind of a breathalyzer, of
course. For the car, right.
Wow.
Because that's the one problem that they do have are drunk drivers. And if you are arrested with alcohol mm-hmm. on you, they put a sticker on your car that says alcohol problem.
Oh, my God.
And so
really?
Whenever a policeman sees you, they will pull you over and stick that wand in through the window and find out if you're drinking or not. And people know how to be careful around you. I thought, well, there's a solution to an old problem.
Scarlet letter. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That is intense. Thank you for sharing some of your highlights. You have one more that you wanted to share?
I do. We took a boat cruise in Ha Long Bay. Ha Long Bay is this, it's in the South China Sea, and there are over 3,000 islands of karst, K-A-R-S-T. It's a stone that goes straight up in the air and are uninhabited, but they form this like a maze of channels and waterways. So we were on a boat that there were 18 of us on this boat and probably that many staff also. It was luxurious. It was really, really nice.
It sounds so intriguing.
Like oh, yeah.
I don't know it.
So beautiful. And the wonderful thing about it, and this is why Mike and I love travel. It is meeting other people, other yeah. travelers. And on
I'm
this
with
boat,
you on that.
Pardon me?
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. On this, we had met one other American couple our whole time we were in Vietnam. Everybody else was European or Australian or other Asian travelers. And so the last night that we were on the boat, we all met up on the upper deck for happy hour, mm-hmm. which extended through dinner and then after dinner. And yes, five scotches in. We were singing Irish songs, The Fields of Athenry.
Aww, but that's a good one.
What was so wonderful was there were a couple from England, a couple from Australia, a couple from Ireland, and a couple from Germany, and Mike and me. And the German fellow posed a question. He said, if you could go back in your life to any age, where would you go back? And why that age? Would you change things or just want to relive it again? Well, the discussion that we had wasn't as important as the level of trust and kind of sharing that happened amongst these people because it all involved travel experiences and relationships. And I thought, this is why I love to travel. You meet people who share a passion with you for travel, who are adventurous. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to have some adventure to go to Vietnam. It's not an easy country to visit. And we were, Mike and I were the oldest couple of this group. They're all just newly retired. And I said, oh, we got this retirement thing down. But
I know, I'm so jealous.
Yeah. It's really nice. I'll admit that. I know that sometimes, you know, you'll meet people like on the beach in Mexico and you get to be friends and you have drinks together and you say, oh, we'll get together. We'll send Christmas cards. Yeah. Never hear from them again. And that's fine, you know.
In the moment, you had a great time.
At the moment, you had a great time. Yeah. These people, I feel differently about. They've said, we've been wanting to take a tour of the West Coast of the United States. From Vancouver down to Mexico.
These are the German?
The German and the English couples. And the Irish couple.
So they might actually come here and you might...
I've got this feeling that they are. Because they've connected with us on Facebook. I just have this sneaking suspicion that...
I hope that they do.
Yeah, me
I'd
too.
Love to meet them if
we
they come
really
here.
We really sold Vashon. They were like enchanted with Vashon, of course.
It's an easy sell.
Yeah. Anyway... Travel at an easy sell, exactly. Anyway, it was really a good trip. I'm exhausted. I'm glad I'm home.
I'm glad you're home, too. I know. I saw you like the day after you came home, and you looked so beat. And I was just like, I mean, that is, you said it was 17-hour plane
yes,
ride. That's
yes.
insane. I've never been on one longer than 12 hours.
Oh,
I mean,
it was
just
rough.
With no stopping. You know what I mean? So I'm glad that you're home.
I'm glad to be home, too.
And I'm glad you went. Where do you think you guys are going to go next?
Well, our Irish friends are coming in July. They're coming here.
Oh, yeah, because they were supposed to come a couple months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and they got COVID, unfortunately, and they couldn't. But they definitely want to come here.
I'm going there next month.
Oh, I'm jealous. I love Ireland.
It's just Adam's not even coming. My cousin is turning 16. We're going to have a little party.
Oh, yeah. We knew that if Trump had been reelected, we were going to move to Ireland.
Yeah, a lot of people like the neutrality of that country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We've got one more beautiful Vietnamese song for you guys to hear.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Brad, for sharing your very, very recent trip with us. It sounds beautiful. And thank you, Vashon, for listening. I'm Megan Hastings, and this is the Cats and Jammers.
I've been everywhere.